This week, I'm going to be talking about endurance. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 10. Before I read the scripture, we'll just have a recap of what we've done over the last 2 weeks. 2 Timothy, Paul is writing his second letter to Timothy. This is a brief recap. We first looked at the gifts and training and using those gifts, making sure that we stay up to those gifts. We have been given a spirit of power, love and discipline, not timidity. And then last week we looked about not being ashamed of the gospel or each other as Christians. So, endurance. So, verse 3. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, Paul's words there, therefore I endure. So, what is he enduring? Suffering. So, endurance and suffering go hand in hand. So this is where Paul links them together. And it's the gospel he's suffering for. And he knows that the only way that people will get saved is through the gospel. And if it means he has to suffer for other people to get saved, then he was willing to go through it. And if we look at Paul's life, he suffered. Shipwrecked, jailed, in prison, beaten to the point of death. He suffered. So, like Paul says, he endures everything for the sake of the elect. So, Paul here gives us three examples. So, you've got the soldier, you've got the athlete, and you've got the farmer. So, let's look at each one and see. So, Paul says the soldier does not get involved in worldly things. He tries to please his commanding officer. That for us is don't let the world dictate what you're going to do. Jesus is our commanding officer. We are warriors for him. It's him that we're there to obey. So, the soldier. These three examples, the Jewish people knew about these people. So they knew the Roman soldiers, what the Roman soldiers were like. They knew what the athletes were like. There was somebody that were up on a pedestal somewhere. And the majority of the Jews knew what it was like to be a farmer. So, soldier. Believe it or not, I've done a bit myself. So, not a full-time soldier, but when I was at grammar school, we had all three cadet forces, and you could join one of any of them. So, I joined the Army Cadets, which was the infantry at the time. So for me to be able to do anything as a cadet, I had to train. And I had to learn discipline. Now, if you've ever watched any of these programs on TV about soldiers and discipline, you will understand where Paul is coming from when he talks about discipline. It's not just about being shouted at by somebody until you get something right. But that was part of it. Even with the fire service, you have to train and be disciplined because people's lives depend on you doing what you're told when you're told, without question, which for some people can be quite difficult. But once you have trained and you learn to trust the commanding officer, it doesn't become a problem. But you have to be trained to get there. And if you go through, there's different types of soldiers. Now, my latter years in the fire service, there were two guys that I worked with that joined the part-time soldiers. I know that's the wrong terminology for it. But they both joined the para regiment, which is a little bit more elite. And they had to be extremely disciplined in what they were trying to achieve. In fact, one of the guys, he constantly tried to join the SAS through the paras. And it takes a different type of character. I'll mention character a little bit later on as well. But it's that training and that discipline. And it's the appearance as well. You don't see a scruffy soldier. Even when he's in the midst of battle, he don't look scruffy. He looks like he means business. And that's what we have to be like. You know, I've got a telling off tonight because I'm scruffy tonight. I've not got a shirt on. But I will have learnt from that. Nice smiles there, didn't they? But that's what we have to do. We make a mistake, we learn from it, and we do something about it. And that's what it's like to be a soldier. It's very much regimented. And you have to go through enduring things. Have you ever seen the assault courses that the soldiers have to go on? They scream, get screamed at and shouted at until they get it right and they can achieve the full course. And they're not easy. It is a hard physical thing to do, to be a soldier. But we're all called to be soldiers for Jesus. And times are not going to be hard. Times are going to be hard for us as well. As we sit down, and not always sit down, but we stand up for Jesus. If you look back to the First World War, talking about endurance, the soldiers that were in the, I forgot what they call them now, trenches. When the soldiers were in the trenches, they had to endure hardship, lack of food, lack of sleep. It was damp, it was horrible. They had trench foot. They were suffering constantly, but they knew that they couldn't give up. And they fought until the war was over. And we've got what we have today because of those soldiers. But each and every one of you that sat out there that knows Jesus, there was a soldier of Christ that told you about him. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to be that soldier. We've got to do the enduring. When the times are good, we can endure really easy. But when the times are bad, we've still got to knuckle down and endure it. People's lives depend on a soldier. People's lives depend on what we do. So, that's your soldier. A little bit more before I forget. Your soldier, different soldiers have different skills. So you've got your sniper, you've got your infantry, you've got your SAS, which soldier, special air forces, a little bit of a crossover with army and air force there. But it's there, there's different specialisms and they have to train hard but be gifted. So it's linking back into what I said on the first session about the gifts and training and pushing. God's given us gifts, whether it be natural or Holy Spirit, we have to work at them. A sniper just isn't a really good sniper straight off. He has to train at it. And he has to train at it in different conditions because the wind speed, the weather, make a difference to that shot. And those who make the shot have practiced for a lot. So, that's your soldier. So, let's go on to an athlete. Athletes endure. Well, I can put my hand up and say I've done that as well. Paul says the athlete competes to the rules. An athlete has to compete to the rules, otherwise he's disqualified. And we know through the Great Commission that we are to obey Jesus' commands. So we have to abide by the rules, whether we like it or not. But you look at the main endurance athletes. So you've got, like, everybody knows the marathon runners. But I've learned through the fire service and working with different people, there's other endurance sports out there that not many people know about. My boss on my shift used to do what they call it Ironman. He used to do half Ironman and full Ironman. And an Ironman is, I think it's a 3 mile swim, and maybe a little bit out, like, might be 2 mile, not sure. Run a marathon, and then you have a cycle to do. And I can't remember how far it is, but I think it's something like 100 kilometres. It's a long way. And they have a time to do it in. I think there's, like, it's either 12 hours or 24 hours. Can't remember which. But to be able to do that, you've got to train hard. And you've got to endure. With an athlete, everything else is put out of the window. Certainly for the professionals, if you want to be the best of the best, you want to be an Olympian and win, everything else in your life has to take a back seat. Your diet's got to change. Your relationships have got to change because you don't have time for them. You really do have to put in the time and energy. While I was preparing this, I remembered a time when Amy was competing with the skiing and she crashed and hurt her ankle. To get back onto the skis, she had to go and have physio. So having that physio is hard, because you can't train because you're not fit. But you know that you're sat in a position where you've got to do something to get you back to that place where you can train. And it's like us, when we're going through a bad time, what do we do? Do we throw a pity party, or do we do something about it? Amy went to one of the probably best physios around Huddersfield at the time when she had her accident. He was the current physio for Huddersfield Giants. And he took Amy on board, and she did what he told her to do to get right. And because she persevered in what he was telling her to do, her recovery rate was quicker than most of the Super League players, which is down to her dedication into doing what she was told to do and her age a bit. It is easier when you're younger to recover a little bit quicker. But that's it. It's getting involved and doing. And you'll find that most athletes that are competing to be the best in their sport, they have a passion for it. They can't do it without that passion. That's got to be the same for us. We've got to have a passion for Jesus for us to be able to do and endure what we need to do and endure to get to the goal. And that's what they've got. They have a goal. And all they see is that goal, and they focus on it. So what's our goal? Is it a selfish goal, or is it a goal to see people saved? Is it to be the person that God created us to be? That should be each and every one of our goals. Just like an athlete, we should focus on it and focus on it and keep down that path and not get distracted. So I've got another scripture to bring in here. And it's not one that we like that often. Romans 5, verse 3-5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a little reminder of what I've already spoken on. Hope doesn't put us to shame. Not being ashamed. We have hope in Christ and we shouldn't be ashamed. And God's love has been poured out to us into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned that in the first week. We've been given the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the things that we need to do. So, another example of an athlete, and this has just happened recently. This is how some endurance athletes really push the boat out. So I've told you something that happens over 24 hours with the Ironman. There's a guy I used to work with, I've just seen it on Facebook. He did what they call the spine race. This is a walk. So it sounds easy, doesn't it? It's a walk. 268 miles in 150 hours. So he's had 7 daylight days and 6 nights to complete this walk. And it's literally from Derbyshire to Scotland up the Pennines. So it's near enough the Pennine Way. And it is a race and it is a competition and it is a fundraiser. But he couldn't do that without all the training that he does. And I know how much training he used to do. He lived in Wakefield, worked at Cleckheaton. He used to run to work, cycle to work, walk to work. It was very rare you saw him turn up in a vehicle. But that's the dedication, and that's the dedication that we should have. So, lastly, but not leastly, the farmer. I've never been a farmer. No, I've never been a farmer. But I know how much hard work a farmer has to put in. Now, I don't think there's many here that like getting out of bed at the time a farmer has to get out of bed to start his work. Early hours. I know Pastor likes getting up early. I get up early when I have to. Yeah. Yeah, Ian gets up at 4 o'clock. But the farmer's work is hard. It's a physical hard work. It doesn't matter what the weather is, he's still got to get up and he's still got to do his job. And again, lives depend on his job. He has to know what he's doing. So it's passed down from generation to generation, usually in the farming business. You don't just wake up one day and think, oh, I think I'll be a farmer. It tends to be generational. Not that you can't, but it does tend to be generational. So they're taught from a very early age. The kids get up with mum and dad and do the milking of the cows. They do the planting of the... They get on with it. And at the end of the day, certainly in those times, if you were the farmer, your family didn't eat unless you did your job right. Yes, the farming, you produce crops for others as well to eat, but essentially, you were doing it for your family. So, family. We are all family. So, it's up to us to take the lead of the farmer. No matter what the weather, no matter what we feel like, we still have a job to do. And we've still got to get up and we've got to do it, no matter how we feel. We can feel down here. I went and feel up here when it's nice and sunny and warm and everything's going our way. But when it's not, you've still got to grind it out. Because if you don't, people will suffer. People will die. And that's what we're about. We're about giving life. We've got to give life to everyone that we know that doesn't know Jesus. We've got to present Jesus to them so that they can have everlasting life. The same that we've accepted. So, I know the farmer has not been as intense as the others, but each one of those examples is showing us about endurance. Part of that endurance is suffering. It's just one of those things. And if we read a little bit further on in 2 Timothy, verse 11, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. No matter how you feel, God will always be faithful to you. In those times of enduring, you may feel that your faith is down here, but God is still there, he's still at your side, and he's still walking with you. My final scripture is 1 Peter 4, verse 13 to 19. And I suppose this sums up what I've spoken about so far. I shall read it to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And just let me say, Paul's not saying here, God makes you suffer. He's not. What he's saying is, as a Christian, we will suffer. And it's part of the Romans 5, suffering, perseverance, character, hope. And that hope is in Christ Jesus. So I hope that the message has come across tonight that we're going to suffer and we need to endure. So next time, which is going to be in a few weeks because we've got other things on a Sunday night, I'm going to be looking at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you want, you can actually have a look at that, because you know it's coming up, and you can test what I'm going to say to you. Yeah. Amen. Amen.